Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show alongside Alex Azarm. I'm Bart Winkler. Marco Belletti on your updates tonight. We are broadcasting, as we always do, live. If you got us on a radio station, if you have us on Sirius XM, channel 158 is where we used to be, 375. don't ever go to the other one. No, I don't know. Dig in a hole, trying to get out. Not sure what to do. It wasn't that bad. Now the getting out is worse. The Odyssey app is that solves all these problems. Just get on the Odyssey app. You could be wherever you are. We will be there. Nothing else. I mean, you know, give love to your local affiliates and everything, but oh boy. Could we start the show over? No, plenty to get into tonight. It is a Bartometer tonight. Well, wait a minute, Bart. I thought the Bartometer was moving off of Thursdays. As a matter of fact, it is. The Bartometer, we've been doing it now for over a year on Thursday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern and 8 Pacific. You can fill in the gaps in between. We are moving the Bartometer. We are moving the Bartometer to Tuesday nights. This will take effect September 2nd. So September 2nd, the Bartometer will move to Tuesdays. It'll be a joyous day, but it is tonight. And we're going to look at quarterbacks since 2020 that have been acquired by a new team and rank the best acquisitions. So there's plenty of time to be had. There's plenty of story to be written for a lot of these. That's why more recent draft picks maybe not on. You look at that 2020 class, which was very good. But we're going to look at best quarterback acquisitions since January 1, 2020. And that does include the draft. And that does include free agency. And that does include trades. So we'll see what the Bartometer has to say about that coming up in about an hour. Want to talk some NBA MVP. There's been a lot of discussion around Nikola Jokic and his big week. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Thunder continue to steamroll. And then is there anybody else that should be in the mix? I would say yes. And I'm not sure why he is. And if you remember where I live, that might be a hint. So we'll get into that a little bit later and plenty to talk about regarding baseball, basketball, football, college basketball, and the like. Tonight's actually a pretty massive night. So I would understand. You know, some nights maybe you have us on while you're watching a game, but some nights like a big game takes precedent in your habits and you may be watching that and then come to the show after it's done. And so I don't know what the listenership is going to be like until maybe another hour from now, because Chattanooga is currently up 38-37 over UC Irvine in the NIT championship game. So it's a big night in college basketball. And it's not just that. The college basketball crown is also happening. Villanova and USC are currently tied at 20. So I know there's a lot going on in sports tonight, a light MLB day, kind of a light NBA day too, across those sports. Pretty about half full. More than that. NHL, a couple of games coming up here momentarily. But the college basketball, I think, is where everybody's attention seems to be. One of the places where my attention was this week is Sacramento. And I don't think I need to do my 5 minutes on why John Fisher is a terrible owner. I don't think I need to do my 5 minutes on why I think he systematically beat down Oakland and the fan base, and my 5 minutes on Oakland fans are the victim here. For some reason, some people think that it's their fault that the A's had to move. No, they didn't have to move. John Fisher wanted to move, and he wanted to move to Las Vegas. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to take this team out of Oakland and move them to Las Vegas. All right. Easier said than done. Let's ignore all the, well, how do you get your team to a spot to move where everybody's like, yeah, go. How do you get a new team in a new city? You've got to go through governmental hoops. You got to go through city councils. You got to make sure there's some fan interest. You got to build a stadium. You got to pay for the building of that stadium. You can't just end a season in Oakland and say we're starting next season in Las Vegas. The hurdles of which the athletics organization has had to jump over have been many so far in Vegas, and they have not jumped over all of them. They've fallen down. They've fallen down a few times. They've fallen down, and it's not been pretty. The stadium is not going to be nearly as majestic as it was originally thought to be. Again, if it's built at all, I'm very much a skeptic. And also, if the stadium does get built, we still don't know with what money fully. And we also don't know if it's going to be on time. And on time is already 3 years from now. So the A's finish playing in Oakland in 2024. It's 2025, and then 2026, and then 2027. And then Las Vegas should be ready in 2028. First of all, when you move a team, I mean, this is a far cry from packing up a Mayflower van and going in the middle of the night. Sometimes when you move a team, it's like, okay, we got to find a temporary zone. I think the Titans went through this as they were building things in Nashville. We got a college stadium we can play in. But it was still, you know, the Tennessee Titans. This is, you're trying to get to Las Vegas, and you had to move to a different city in California. And what I've thought for the longest time was, what they want to do, John Fisher wants to get this team to Las Vegas. But if in Sacramento there's a lot of fan support, perhaps this whole saga ends with him saying, all right, I'm going to sell the team as people wish. And now you've got a city in Las Vegas that thought they were going to get it, a city in Sacramento that's experiencing it, and a city in Oakland that wants it back. You could potentially have three different ownership groups now all bidding against each other. Highest bid wins, you profit big time. One problem through one series that we've seen so far, and again, this is Sacramento, California. This isn't some of these opening days where it's 35 degrees and rainy. This is Sacramento, California. One problem that they're running into already is the stadium is not major league capable. They're giving it an old college try, but there's already way too many cracks. There have not been a rush to buy tickets from the local Sacramentites, Sacramentians. The stadium's been as empty as it was in Oakland. And there was a very interesting interview that I saw today. Chris Biderman writes for the Sacramento Bee. And he was on with Foul Territory today, one of these MLB shows. And Biderman had a few things to say. It's about 90 seconds. The big takeaways are Sacramento could end up being a one and done. What looked to be a three-year thing, possibly even four. They got an option for another year if they don't get Vegas ready. But Sacramento could be a one and done. And where else would they play then? Oh, a very familiar setting, if need be, Chris Biderman on foul territory.
A lot of things are going to reveal themselves as the season goes on. This, you know, we talked about the attendance. Like, is that going to hold up over the long term, particularly if the A's aren't winning? Is the field going to hold up? How's that going to work? Is this going to be a situation where, you know, there are a lot of balls in the air? Like, I don't think it's a sure thing that the A's are going to be in Sacramento this whole, you know, 3-year stretch. Like, I don't think that's a given, particularly if, like you said, the field gets completely baked out. It turns into concrete by the time August comes around. You know, if opposing teams voice their complaints, the media situation certainly isn't great. I know fans don't care about that, but the media situation, the lack of like real press conference areas and press workrooms and press seating, if the A's do make the playoffs, the press setup is going to be why they won't host a playoff game. And then you'll have a scenario where if the A's do end up hosting a playoff game, most likely is that'll be in San Francisco. And what kind of look is that going to be for the A's? So, you know, there's a lot of balls in the air for sure. The field's absolutely one of them. And if enough of these factors go poorly for the A's, it wouldn't surprise me at all if this Sacramento thing is a one and done, because you do have a major league ballpark sitting there in Oakland. I know it's being used by the Oakland Roots soccer team right now, but it wouldn't take much for them to get that back ready to major league caliber. And, you know, despite the team's relationship with the local officials being completely fractured and the fan base being completely fractured, you do have a major league ballpark there that's sitting unused that could potentially, you know, make more sense for the A's than West Sacramento if things go poorly.
Now, we'll see if any of this comes to fruition. But the fact that this kind of reporting, or, I mean, at minimum, speculation, just the fact that you would be able to speculate on that after three games, and again, that's Chris Biderman, Sacramento B on foul territory today, is pretty remarkable and embarrassing. And could you imagine if this team plays another game in Oakland before they play again in Las Vegas? Now, I thought that is certainly a plausible scenario, but not with John Fisher as the owner. So he'd have to come back, and you know he'd be even more defiant, right? You know this payroll that they added a little bit to? Well, that's going out the window. John Fisher hates the city of Oakland, and he hates any fan who's ever put on an A's jersey. He hates you. I mean, that with the actions, that's clear. He hates you. You love his team. You know, you pay to go see his team. He doesn't care. There's no loyalty. It's a one-way street. He does not care about you. But if they had to go back to Oakland, even if they make the playoffs, they can't play in Sacramento. Now, they're 2-5. Okay, super early to be looking at records. But I don't think they were thought of as a playoff team necessarily. Quick side note on super early to be looking at records. The San Diego Padres are 7-0, and the Atlanta Braves are 0-7. The Padres' odds to win their division is 5%, and the Braves is 33%. Now, they're in different divisions, certainly. But, and the Dodgers, you know, Dodgers and Braves. So, a little different there, Dodgers, Padres, you know what I'm saying. But just to the point, I'm not saying 2-5 they're out of it, but it's the A's and they're out of it. I'm amazed, you know, facts on the situation be what they are. I'm amazed MLB is just allowing this to happen. I'm amazed they were able to watch it go through. I'm amazed there wasn't more of a pushback. I'm amazed that the commissioner is not more publicly embarrassed, that teams aren't more embarrassed. I would like for these teams to go there, and I would like to hear from Cubs players and whoever plays there next and next and next, and I would like everybody to just crap on the situation. How do you feel about playing here in Sacramento? look, there's a lot of fans that came out. The Sacramento people are good people. And I know they're doing their best. The workers here, everybody that's just trying to involve. But the fact that we're here is embarrassing. And, you know, we're major league players. We're not expecting Shangri-La. We're not expecting the greatest facilities that there are. But these are not facilities that are worthy of Major League Baseball fans. They should not be watching a game in these facilities. And if you're even at home trying to watch it, there's a lot of problems that get the transmission to people's homes via the radio or the television. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing on Major League Baseball. It's embarrassing. You've got all these different prestigious teams trying to do the best they can with stadium improvements every year, trying to highlight the fan experience, trying to highlight and make a better roster. You've got a lot of teams that and owners that, yeah, the whole goal is bottom line. You're trying to make money. But there's a lot owners, and there are owners that are pretty cheap. But even the cheap owners could be a lot cheaper. Because nobody's doing this. Nobody's doing what John Fisher's doing. And we're 3 days into this thing in Sacramento. And there's already like, gosh, I don't know. This may not be able to continue. Pretty remarkable stuff. The A's in Sacramento, they will now go on the road. Quick little series in Colorado. And then they're back to host the Padres and to host the Mets. So, you know, those are both clubs that have spent a lot of money to try to be competitive, and not just competitive, but World Series good. The Padres and everything they've done with their ballpark has been great. The Mets and Citi Field certainly are sparing no expense. So it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is from these players as they step into the ballpark in Sacramento for the first time. Suddenly these games have gotten very interesting between the Athletics, just the Athletics, not Sacramento, not Vegas, not Oakland, not California, nothing, just the Athletics and their opponents. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So we don't know where the A's are going to be playing. I mean, I think it's up for debate still if Vegas happens, but it's up for debate next year. Things got a little less cloudy maybe for another MLB team. And then all of a sudden, an NFL team might be up for grabs when it comes to the relocation shuffle, which I don't think anybody knew or was aware of. But a little nugget got dropped today, and now there's some fans in the Midwest freaking out a little bit. 888-710-4ISN. We'll be back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Talking a little on the Athletics. Could they move? Could they not move? I mean, we think they're moving to Las Vegas. There's a lot that's still got to be hammered out there. Talking about a report from the Sacramento Bee that maybe Sacramento could be a one and done. So pretty interesting scene so far. We'll see how things materialize, but the expectation is that stadium is going to continue to get beat down and beat down as things move forward. Against the Bart Winkler Show, this portion of the show brought to you by Hyundai. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on, and it's going on now. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong, but don't wait. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. One team that feels a little bit better about their future after today is the Rays, who are playing at George Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, where the Yankees play minor league and spring training games, and they've got their space in Tampa and certainly their fan base. They're playing there because Tropicana Field got demolished in those hurricanes, Hurricane Milton specifically, and the roof, you remember those, they were going to use that as a triage facility, and the roof fell to the ground, and the whole stadium is beaten and battered. The St. Petersburg City Council voted 7-1 on Thursday to approve $22.5 million for a new roof after the previous one was shredded. It will be made with the same Teflon-coated fiberglass as the old roof, so it certainly could happen again, I would assume. The step covers roughly half of the estimated $55 million that the stadium needs for full repairs. The city is contractually obligated to repair the field as part of its agreement with the Rays. There's been some discussion about trying to build a new stadium. And when I say that, there's been 15 years of discussion. But for now, they are believed and scheduled and expected to return to the Trop and stay there through 2028. There's still the prospect of them moving at some point. Some groups aren't happy with the whole situation. Rays fans going with the sell the team route. They just want better ownership there. Stuart Sternberg, the owner in Tampa, St. Pete area. And so this is a team that, you know, at some point they can't play at the Tropicana Field forever. I've been there. It is a dump. It is a charming dump. I really did enjoy being there. You can't believe that when you're walking around the concourse, you can't believe you're going to watch a baseball game. And then when you're in the facility, you're like, this is weird. You know, even like these minor league facilities that they're playing in, the Rays and the Athletics, those are minor league baseball parks. Tropicana Field is just like, it's just a weird place to be in and then watch a game. It seems like you are, I don't know, it feels like you're squatting or something. Like you're in somebody's house and you're not supposed to be doing what you're doing. It's just very odd. That's a feeling I got as a fan when I was there so many years ago. But for now, still a lot remaining unsettled there. But they're on track to return there in 2026. And then there's the issues of the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, we talked about them last night, 24 hours ago, at this very time. And we were talking about some of the on-the-field stuff. And I was saying, look, this is a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, or they should. They've got a window. They've got an offense. The defense was bad last year. The last thing you can do is let the best guy on that defense and Trey Hendrickson leave. You got to pay the guy. Use your window. Utilize your window. And Trey Hendrickson was reacting and disappointed with comments that team executive Vice President Katie Blackburn had said about, look, he's making the money he's making. We want him to be happy with that. We'd like to see him continue, to paraphrase. But now she's in the news again as she was asked about the status of the lease to the stadium that they are using. So it's Paycor Stadium. It's the name of the facility. That lease expires on June 30th of next year. That lease expires June 30th, 2026, unless they exercise an option to extend it by 2 years on or before June 30th of this year. She was asked about the status. She said, we play it day by day, and like everything else, we just have to continue to have discussions, see where things are, and then make decisions at the appropriate time. Okay, that's not totally reassuring. But I guess they're working on it. But she said she had more to say. We could, I guess, go wherever we wanted after this year if we didn't pick up the option. So, you know, we'll see. Like I said, all these things will be done in due course. We are having discussions, and so we're hopeful that the county is thinking about it too and wants to get it addressed in a way that would be beneficial to both of us. We could, I guess, go wherever we wanted after this year. I was not aware of this. I don't know how many people in Cincinnati. I'm sure there was some awareness of it. But the Bengals basically have a 3-month deadline to lock into another 2 years, or they are free agents in terms of where they're going to play. Blackburn says, we love where we are. Our stadium needs to continue to be maintained appropriately, so you want to keep it at a certain level that's important just so we're competitive with others. I've been there too. I enjoyed the stadium, and I really like the location of it. Cincinnati's got a highway, like all major cities, a highway that just rips through the downtown. Not really a fan of that. A lot of good neighborhoods and homes and businesses were lost when the highway planning commissions of the 40s and 50s got out their pen and paper to figure out how to make traffic better for a few people. I'm very anti a lot of that. This is not the place for that. But I just also wanted to inform you that I don't like it. But there's a nice little downtown. And then there's stadiums, but there's the highways that like rip right through it. But when you're in that area, you do feel like you're in like a cool little place. It's like, hey, there's a bunch of bars here. There's a bunch of hotels here. To the east is the Red Stadium. To the west is the Bengals Stadium. And we're all kind of tucked together and, you know, it's kind of fun. So it is kind of fun once you're in it. The highway's there, that's stupid, but it's a nice little area. It's right on the Ohio River, so I mean, you hit a home run out of the Red Stadium, it could land in Kentucky waters. This whole situation, I mean, we're talking about stadiums, leasing, city councils. That's the biggest problem I have with how we do this, with how we do stadiums, and how we basically have a spot of land that is owned by the city or county or state, whatever the jurisdiction, and then the team leases that land or is a tenant of that property because they don't own that property. And they don't own their stadium in most cases. You would think that sports teams and these owners, and we always say, like, you got so much money, why are we paying for your improvements? Why are we paying? And there's been different stadium improvement discussions that I've been a part of as a fan. The Brewers almost left. The Bucks almost left. And what ends up happening is a lot of times the public does pay for stadiums because they chip in a little bit. The team chips in a little bit. The public chips in a little bit. I'm fine with that. I understand like how things, I don't want to say how things work, but I understand that if I want to be able to call the fire department and have them come to my house, the way they're getting funded is through taxes. I understand if I want my neighborhood to thrive, whether I have kids or don't. I think the school system should be appropriately funded. So I have no problem with my taxes going to that. And I'm a big sports fan, and I want to have teams that I think not only do I like having teams within driving distance from where I live, I also think it's good for the area to have that kind of economic driver. And also, maybe the best part of it is the communal nature of what a sports team can do. There was nothing like Milwaukee in the summer of 2021, where we were just coming out of the pandemic, or at least the restrictions we were all feeling. There were still not a lot of events happening, as that was still trying to come back, and the Bucks went on this title run, and then the area outside the stadium kind of became a mini like festival every couple of nights, home and away. People gathered there, and it was great to be together once again. And what would have replaced that if we didn't have that team, if we didn't help them build a new arena, if we didn't fund that with some taxpayer money? So I've always been, and what is it? Like, I don't, was it $9 a year I'm paying on my property? I don't know. I paid $300 for a piece of paper to say I'm a Packers owner. And that, I think, is an even better investment, because I think there's a lot of, I think if you ask Bengals fans may say, well, you don't collect, you don't get dividends. Okay, well, first of all, I paid for that stock, and I don't lose on that stock. I guess I lose $300 the one time. But I get a piece of paper, and more importantly, I get to gloat and brag facetiously and also seriously that I own an NFL team. And then also, I've got the comfort of never having to go through these things. If Green Bay had a traditional owner, and if Green Bay did not have the public ownership, they would not still be here. And even if they were, even if the Packers were still here in 2025, it'd be every 3 years. Oh, rumors of selling. The guy wants to leave. I can make more money elsewhere. We get the NFL draft in Green Bay, but we want a Super Bowl. I'm going to move to Vegas. I'm going to move to Memphis. I'm going to move to San Antonio. It'd just be constant threats of, oh, my God, are we going to move? Are we going to move? It would be terrible. So this is very interesting. One thing that I could do off of this is, what would be the best cities for the Bengals if they were to leave? I'm not touching those topics. That's dirty. That goes against everything that I've said with Oakland. I think when you have a team and you're the fan of another team, we have to support Cincinnati. We have to root for them and cherish them. We have to protect them and help them so that they can have our back if need be. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We got the Bulletin Blitz coming up. Bartometer. We'll take a look at every quarterback that's been acquired by an NFL team since 2020, including the big one in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, and rank the best moves. That in about 22 minutes. Right now, let's get an update. Marco Belletti.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast. The biggest moments in the games.
Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Wow! Touchdown! Denver! Unbelievable!
The biggest voices in sports.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
The heartbreak.
Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs!
The celebrations.
And it takes the knee of the New York Giants of the Super Bowl 42 champion. And Tom Coughlin and the Big Blue erase all of their doubters. They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
It is time for the Bulletin Blitz, the April 3rd, 2025 edition. I am Bart Winkler. With us tonight, Alex Azar. Al, good to talk to you again. What's happening? I don't know if you like yes. people call you that or not.
I was about to say, I don't think anyone has ever called me Al before.
So but, never Big Al?
No, I'm not a big person if you were to ever meet me in person.
Oh, but that's like sometimes people do that when there's a
yeah,
little
I guess.
Guy, they call him Big Al, or if there's a big guy, they call him like... There was this bouncer at this bar we used to go to all the time was a pretty large man. We called him Skinny Pete. I don't know. His name wasn't even close to Pete.
Oh, that was the part that you didn't know what to call him, but the skinny part was good.
Actually, you didn't know his name.
You didn't know his name, so we just, okay. All right, let's move on. We got an NFL slate here for tonight's Bulletin Blitz. Here's what Adam Schefter had to say. Trey McBride is now the highest paid tight end of all time. Here's what he has to say.
All right, Laura, moments ago, the Arizona Cardinals reached agreement with tight end Trey McBride, making him the highest paid tight end in NFL history, a new benchmark deal, 4 years, $76 million, including $43 million guaranteed. That's a $19 million per year average, which becomes the new threshold for tight ends.
He had a great year last year with the Cardinals, 111 grabs. 1,100 yards. The touchdowns didn't come until later in the season. So he had a bunch of catches, but he did not score until December 28th and then scored again the following week against the Niners. So maybe that's why I don't think his superstardom, we'll say, is as big as it could be. He's kind of like forgotten, and he's very much deserving of this money. But George Kittle had sort of a renaissance here. Of course, we're always wrapped up in Travis Kelce, and Brock Bowers has come on to possibly be the best tight end overall in the league. But Trey McBride, this is certainly worth it. Certainly a move the Cardinals should make with him and Marvin Harrison Jr. And, you know, they just need better from Kyler Murray. And they might have a pretty decent team, but I don't know that Kyler Murray gets them to anything better than 9-8 or 8-9. So they've got some good pieces around the former second baseman. But he's got to make a leap, I think. And I think the clock's ticking on that for Kyler.
I feel like they're banking on him to actually, you know, law of averages. How he only got 2 touchdowns last year, I feel like that number is going to go significantly up next season. And here's another extension. Pete Carroll talking on his new... Oh, sorry, on his former quarterback, Geno Smith, getting a 2-year extension in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that for the organization and for my own, you know, want to win and all that. He can win, and he's a good player. He really cares. He's so competitive. I know him so well and really love the kid, you know, and we went through, you know, you have a guy stay with you for 4 years not playing, and he wants to play in the worst way, and it burns in his heart, but he hung with us, you know. And he, you know, finally all the things happened so that he got to start, and he's done great.
Geno Smith signing a 2-year, $85.5 million extension. The guaranteed money is $66 million, and he's with the Raiders through the 2027 season, at least contractually. They traded for him. They wanted to have him there. They want to tie him with Pete Carroll. I think the Raiders' whole mission here with Carroll and with Geno is to get back on track, is to bring whatever winning culture, and they did have a winning culture in Seattle, but whatever winning culture you had there, can we try to get it here? They're not going to take a quarterback in this year's draft. Maybe they take one next year. Maybe they take one the year after that. By that time, we've seen teams sign quarterbacks and then be like, okay, we're gonna move on here. We've got a younger, possibly better guy that we want to move with. So, yeah, there's some guaranteed money. I don't think it's not backbreaking. This makes him the 17th highest average paid quarterback in football. If I were to say to you, where should Geno Smith be ranked financially among quarterbacks, I think you would probably come up with 17th or one off, below, or above. So this is the move they wanted to make. It's appropriate to then give him the financial safety for a few years. So I've got no issue with that. Again, I don't think the Raiders are going to be good. Maybe there's a scenario they make the playoffs, but they're going to be better, and they're going to stabilize, and they're going to get this franchise on the right track, which is what they need to do.
And finally, regarding free agency, you just heard it from Marco's updates. Big Ben, a.k.a. Ben Roethlisberger, he talked about whether or not Aaron Rodgers should go to the Steelers or not, and he thinks he's holding out for something else.
But I think Aaron secretly, again, just my opinion, I think Aaron is secretly still holding out for Minnesota, which is why he hasn't signed with the Steelers. Why else would you not? Why else would you go throw with DK and be working out and put it out, blast to everybody that I'm throwing to these guys, but you won't sign? So I just think he's holding out for Minnesota.
There is the potential that Aaron Rodgers would rather play with Minnesota than with Pittsburgh. But then why hasn't Minnesota, what is Minnesota waiting for? Are they waiting for a diagnosis on J.J. McCarthy if he's going to be ready week one? If he's not going to be ready week one, when's he going to be ready? Week four? Week five? I believe if Minnesota wanted J.J. or wanted Aaron Rodgers, they would have Aaron Rodgers. They're not waiting for Rodgers just to see if 3 or 4 weeks can be covered by Aaron Rodgers. If that was the case, they would have given more of an effort to Daniel Jones and brought him back. He was there. Or even given the franchise tag to Sam Darnold. It just feels like with what the Vikings have done, I'm basing this off of their actions, that they're good with J.J. McCarthy and they feel ready to go with J.J. McCarthy. I think, and people keep missing this, I don't know why people are missing this, Aaron Rodgers isn't in a hurry to sign with a team because he's not in a hurry. If he signs with a team in March, what are the things he can do? See a team draft a quarterback and feel stupid. So if the Steelers draft Jackson Dart, perhaps, that would be bothersome. Then he'd have to go and get in the playbook right away, go do the opening press conference, really got to get assimilated into the facility and with the team, go to minicamp, do all that stuff. The later he joins a team, the better. The less offseason nonsense he has to do, and the more leverage he can have to play Aaron's game more than play, let's say, Mike Tomlin's game. I feel like that's crystal clear. Even Ben Roethlisberger not picking up on that for whatever reason. The Bartometer, best quarterback acquisition since 2020. Spoiler alert, Rodgers to the Jets is not on it, but the list is coming up next.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.